In 2001, the Arctic Rose, which was a 92-foot fishing vessel, mysteriously vanished in the Bering Sea. What was interesting about this boat is that it did not radio for help. There was no distress call. Suddenly, the boat sank within moments, and all 15 passengers lost their lives. For 3 years, it was a mystery. For 3 years, they wondered what went wrong. What caused this large vessel to crash and sink? Did it crash? Was there some other unknown cause? Well, several years ago, they took a camera system and went down 400 feet, and they found the vessel. And as they were studying the vessel, they realized that the boat sank for probably one reason, because they left the door open. In that boat, there were many doors that were waterproof that were supposed to be closed to keep waves from crashing through and going into the vessel. But because these men were inexperienced, they left doors open all through the boat. And one study showed that if enough waves crashed in, within 3 minutes, the boat could be overtaken. And with 8 minutes, the boat could sink. There's something interesting about open doors, about closed doors. And what we're going to see this morning is, what does God's Word teach us about open and closed doors? If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we see Paul and a group of men who are interested in spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. They're excited to see God at work. And in the midst of God working, suddenly God closes the door. Maybe some of you this morning have experienced closed doors. And what we're going to see from God's Word is how we're to handle closed and open doors. So if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 12. Since they passed through the region of Phoenicia and Galatia region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Messina, there they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Messina, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you will be with your people this morning. Lord, as we examine closed doors, open doors, Lord, and their significance, Lord, I pray that our spiritual eyes and ears will be open. Pray, Lord, that we will hear your word clearly, that your Spirit will be at work in us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't you notice how this text begins? Here you have a man who is excited about the gospel. He is excited about spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. He wants to do a good thing by spreading the gospel. The whole book of Acts is about the spread of Christianity. It starts in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and it spreads to the ends of the earth. Well, here is Paul. He's trying to do that. And in the midst of him trying to be obedient to the Lord, it says that he essentially wanted to go to Asia. And notice what it says in verse 6. It says that as he tried to go to Asia, that the Spirit prevented him. Then I want you to notice that then he essentially tried to go to India, And it says the Spirit of Jesus prevented him. Twice in this short text, God just closed the door in his face. I want you to see first what we can learn from this text is that God closes doors. God closes doors. I wonder if any of you have had any doors closed in your life. You're praying about something, you are seeking God, and all of a sudden this door slams in your face. First thing we need to learn is that God closes doors. What's interesting about this text is it does not tell us how God closed those doors, does it? I've often wondered, you know, what events, what circumstances led to these doors being closed? Perhaps it was a spiritual sensation. Perhaps Paul just wasn't able to get enough peace. Perhaps he prayed about it and he just couldn't get peace. He just couldn't sleep at night. I've even thought about this. Perhaps it was a storm system came through. And physically, he was just not able to get to a certain location. You know, the most likely scenario and what most commentators believe, that it was Paul's physical health, that his health prevented him from being able to go where he wanted to go. The reason we believe that is the change of language in verses 8 and then verse 10. The writer of this book is a physician, a doctor by the name of Luke. Luke, he wrote the book of Acts, and then he also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so here he's writing this book, and as he's writing the book, he's constantly talking about what they are doing, because he's not there. Notice what it says in verse 7. It says, after they came to Messina, they were trying to go to Bithynia. Then notice in verse 8, it says, and pushing to Messina, they came down to Troas. But then I want you to notice how it begins, how it opens up in verse 11. It says, so putting out to sea from Troas, what's that word? We. That's interesting, isn't it? All of a sudden, he is talking about they are doing something. He's the narrator. And then in verse 11, he says, we did this. So where did this physician come from? Well, it's clear if you read the book of Galatians, which it says he was in the Galatian area. He said, I wouldn't even be preaching this gospel if it weren't for my sickness. And so we believe that Paul had set out, he had a desire to spread the gospel to India, to Asia. But then through his sickness, he was unable to go. Along the way, he had to take a turn and pick up Luke, the physician. You know what Paul could have said? He could have said, you know, my sickness, it prevented me from doing this. If it wasn't his sickness, he could have said, well, you know, there was a storm that came through that prevented us from doing this. But I want you to notice that Paul recognized that God is sovereign and God is in control of all things. God closes doors. I want you to notice that because his spiritual eyes were opened, he recognized that it wasn't his physical sickness that was preventing him. It was the God Almighty who had closed the door in his life. You know what's interesting about closed doors is that a lot of times they're scary. They're intimidating. Every night before we go to sleep, we tuck our boys into bed. They share a room together. We turn out their lamp. And then we go to their closet and we turn the closet light on. And then we close the door, and there's just there's a perfect amount of crack that you have to have. And you have children, you realize this, right? Because if you have the door open too much, then it's like you have the light on, and they won't be able to sleep. But then if you have the door closed too much, then they'll complain that it's too dark. I can't tell you how many times I'll have it just right. And then right as I'm leaving, my son Judah will start arguing with me, saying, no, Daddy, it's closed too much. Daddy, I'm scared. Daddy, open the door a little bit more. Now, there's something scary about closed doors. We don't like closed doors. We don't like it when we have a plan and we believe that God wants us to do something and then all of a sudden that door is slammed closed. Our human nature is to just keep beating against that door until it opens. Helen Keller, a woman who was born blind, this is what she said. She said, "When one door closes, another opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one that has been opened for us." First thing we see from this text is that God closes doors. I want you to see a second truth from this text. God opens doors. God opens doors. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 7, it describes the Lord as the one who has the keys to David, who opens what no man can shut, and he shuts what no man can open. Here was Paul. Here was his group. They had a plan. They had a desire to spread the gospel, and God closed the door twice. But then I want you to see in the following text how he opened the doors. Look in verse 9. It says that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Here's Paul. I can imagine he's frustrated. Maybe he's confused, or maybe he fully trusts in God and knows that God has caused this situation. He's closed those doors, so he's just patiently waiting for the Lord to open the next one. And he has a dream, and notice a man appears and says, "Come on over to Macedonia and help us." Now, we sang a song a moment ago. Have you heard the Macedonian call today? Send the light. Send the light. Well, here that's essentially what this man is asking for. Come on over to Macedonia. Come on over and help us. Now, we don't know who this man was. Some people have said it was Jesus Christ himself, that he appeared to Paul and was pleading with him to come and spread the gospel. You know, sometimes we get stuck and only seeing what's right around us, that we don't see God at work in other places. And here was the end of the earth, and the Holy Spirit was saying, "Come on over and help us." Some people say it was Jesus. Other people have said maybe it was a human man that the Lord was using a vision to show him. Some people have said maybe it was Alexander the Great or someone who was well known during that time period who was pleading with him to come and bring the gospel. That's what it says in verse 10. It says, "When we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." The word "concluding" in Greek is a unique word. It means to knit together. It means to essentially examine all of the evidence. And as they examined all of the evidence, as they looked at a closed door, and then as they examined the evidence of the other closed door, they concluded that this can only mean one thing, that God wants them to bring the gospel and go to Macedonia. I want you to notice what's interesting about this text is that the entire Trinity is at work. The entire Trinity. The very first text, whenever the first door is closed, it states that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going. Then when the second door is closed, it says the Spirit of Jesus essentially closed that door. And then here we see God the Father is calling them and directing them. The Holy Spirit is at work all around us. And here the Holy Spirit was leading and directing them exactly where they needed to go by closing some doors and opening other doors. We can't miss the significance of this closed door. And we can't miss the significance of this open door. I'm convinced that if it weren't for this open door, we would not be hearing the gospel today. That is how significant this moment was in the book of Acts. Because notice where that open door led them. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "So putting out from the Sea of Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the same day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. And that is how it describes Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in this city for some days. It simply describes this city as being significant. The name is Philippi. It was named after the father of Alexander the Great. And what is significant about this city is that it is the first city, the first time that the gospel is taken to a European city. The first time Christianity was spread to Europe is right here in this text. I want you to think about that. Here was Paul. He had a desire to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, which we are all commanded to do. And he was following the Lord. He was being obedient. And if he had kept going his original direction, he would have taken the gospel to China. But it says that the Holy Spirit prevented him. And so then he set out and went the other direction. And had he gone that direction, he would have taken the gospel to India. But God closed that door. Instead, he sent Paul, he sent his men to the first European city, which spread Christianity, spread from Europe to America. We are a Christian nation today because God closed two doors and opened one. Never miss the significance of closed doors in your life. And never miss the significance of an open door in your life. Book of Revelation 3 says this, that he opens what no man can close, and he closes what no man can open. Now, I'm sure that Paul at that moment, he didn't understand the significance of that open door. Maybe he died never fully knowing the significance of those closed and open doors. But here we are 2,000 years later, still preaching the same gospel in America simply because God closed two doors and opened one. This morning, I want to take a few moments to tell you about an open door in my life. We started a Bible study several months ago. We actually started it in January, called Experiencing God. I'm curious, how many of y'all had some part, even if you only showed up once or got a book, how many of y'all came to this study? A lot of y'all did. If you missed out, I feel bad for you. It was such a good study. We'll have to do it again one day. As we were doing the study week after week, we could just feel the presence of the Lord at work. And each week as we did the study, the men would break into one group and the women would break into another group. We'd have our small groups. And then we would come in here and we would watch the DVDs. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but on week 5, naturally we were supposed to watch video 5. Well, as we were trying to figure out the subtitles and get everything just right, somehow on that night we accidentally watched video 8. I didn't even catch it at the time until one of the church members came into my office the next day and said, "Y'all realize we were watching video 8 last night instead of 5? I said, "No, I didn't catch it." But as we were watching video 8 when we should have been watching 5, I remember the sermon. The preacher was preaching a very familiar text, one that I've preached many times and you've heard many times. You've read the passage where Jesus says that we're called to leave everything behind and follow the Lord. Leave your mother, leave your father, leave everything and follow the Lord. And as I was listening to that sermon, it just touched me in a way that it never has before. And after the service was over, we went home and put the kids to bed. And my wife asked me this question. She said, "Charlie, have you ever thought of being a church planter before?" And I said, up until recently, no, it's never been on my mind. But right now, it's all I can think about. We talked for a little bit and just prayed and went to bed. Next day on Monday, we got up and once again, we were doing the Experiencing God Bible study. As we were doing the Experiencing God Bible study, I just felt the Lord just saying to me, "Church planning, church planning." And my wife recognized that the Lord was stirring in my heart. And she said, "Well, do you want to talk about it?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Okay." So she finished the Bible study and left me alone in the living room. And there in the living room, I just wrestled with the Lord. I believe that you should bloom where you're planted. Where God puts you, you stay. And so that's what I told the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'm just going to stay right here. I'm going to do what I've always done. I love preaching the gospel. I love being the pastor at Trinity. But if you have other plans, you know my name, you know my phone number, you got my address, you come and get me." Afterwards, Leslie came and talked about what the Lord was doing. And she asked this question. She said, "Well, where would we go if we were to plant churches, that is, start churches where people haven't heard?" And I said, "I have no clue, hon." And she said, "Well, for some reason, I can't get Canada out of my mind." And I said, "Canada?" I said, "That's missionary stuff." And she just, "Okay." I said, "No, honey." I said, I'm a Baptist pastor in Mississippi. That's missionary stuff. I'm just gonna kind of stay right here." So we had that conversation on Monday. I prayed that specific prayer, "Lord, if you want me, come and get me." I prayed that on Monday. On Sunday, I get a text message from one of my pastor friends, and it said, "Hey, man, be praying for me. God is at work in my life. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but just be praying." I didn't want to pry. I did a little bit. I said, "Well, I'll be praying for you, but is this about church planting?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Where?" He said, "Canada." And I just showed the phone to my wife, and she just laughed. And that began a process in our life where we recognized that God was calling us to pursue church planting in Canada. We were praying about it. We had watched video 8 in the place of 5. Then we watched video 6. Then we watch video 7. And then whenever it was time when we should be watching video 8, in order to reverse the trend from a mistake, we then watched video 5. And Leslie and I just knew, okay, God, you spoke through 8. Surely you're going to speak through video 5. Video 5 was about Richard Blackaby speaking and talking about how one night his son was not able to sleep at 3 in the morning. How for night after night, his son could not sleep. And finally, he simply prayed this prayer, "Lord, why can't I sleep? Show me what it is that you want." And he was finally able to go to sleep. 2 days later, he checked his mail, and there was a letter addressed to him. He opened it up, and it was one of his neighbors that said, "I'm praying for you. Here's some scripture that I just thought you might need." And it was the exact scripture that he really needed at that season in his life. And so he ran to his next-door neighbor, and he said, "Why did you just randomly write me this letter?" And she said, well, 2 nights ago at 3 a.m., I couldn't sleep, and the Lord just laid this on my heart. And Richard Blackaby talked about how God had spoken to two people at the same time about the same thing, and how sometimes that is how God reveals his will. As we heard that message, we just felt the Lord was just saying, and I'm doing it again. I'm doing it right now. So we contacted the North American Mission Board and began an assessment process to see if God were calling us to be church planters in Canada. We prayed and just said, Lord, if you don't want us to go, close this door. But if you do want us to go, keep this door open. Because you open when no man can close. And you close when no man can open. And so as we were praying, we're going through the assessment, and right before Easter, we were talking to the North American Mission Board, and they recognized that this is a very challenging call in many ways to take a young family, 3 children, to go to Canada. Some places are very lost. And so they said, we sense the Lord's calling you, but is it now? Is it now, or is it later? They said, spend the weekend praying that God will show you his will. I've always preached to you to pray specific prayers. If you don't pray a specific prayer, how will you know when God answers? You won't. You'll spend much of your life just praying general prayers, wondering why you don't know if you're in God's will or not. And so as we were talking to my wife after we were supposed to spend the weekend praying, and I asked my wife, I said, well, what should we pray about? And she remembered that one of the men that we spoke to, he said, sometimes God just needs to hit you in the head with a 2x4 to get your attention. And I said, well, let's pray for that. I said, let's pray for a literal 2x4 board. I said, what we will do is we will pray for the next 3 days between now and Easter that if God wants us to go to Canada right now, that he will show us a 2x4 board. I said, we have to lay out some ground rules, though. Number one, we can't go looking for it. We can't just go to Home Depot, walk down the board aisle, and, oh, look, hon, 2x4s. We can't look for it. Two, it can't be attached to anything. You can't just be driving down the road and, oh, look, a deck made out of 2x4s. How about that? It has to be a 2x4 board somewhere it's not supposed to be, by itself, just along our natural route. And God, if you want us to go to Canada in the next 3 days, you're going to show us that board. And if not, we'll forget the whole thing. Prayed that prayer Friday morning. I get in my car Friday morning, and I call the other pastor. He's going through the same assessment that I am as well. I asked him, I said, do you believe in specific prayers? He said, I do. I said, then you need to pray for a 2x4. He said, a 2x4? I said, yeah, it's a 2x4. Talking to him, I'm on the phone, I'm driving to church, I'm on Porter's Chapel, and as I'm driving, I look over, and I see this on the side of the road. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, but this is a 2x4. Talked to him on the phone. I said, you're not going to believe what I'm holding in my hand. I said, I'm holding an unused 6-foot 2x4 board. He said, so what does that mean? I said, it means that God's called us to Canada. We began to pray specifically, where did God want us to go in Canada? There's so many different places in Canada, so much need. But there was one specific place that we felt had the greatest need, and that is a city called Toronto. The greater Toronto area has 7.2 million people. Of those 7.2 million people, 97% of them are lost or non-evangelical. It is a more than 50% of the people are not born there. God is compiling all of the nations right there in the greater Toronto area. It is the most culturally diverse place on the planet. There are people who are in Toronto from closed countries, places that you cannot bring the gospel, but they're in Toronto. God compiled the nations to where you not only can bring them the gospel, you can bring it in English, and then they can take the gospel back to their cultures. After praying, we believe that God is calling us to go to Canada to start a church in the greater Toronto area so that men and women and children who have not heard can be saved. Our vision, our plan, our hope is that we'll be able to stay here for the next few months as we begin the fundraising process, as we go through the North American Mission Board, and we hope to be there by the end of the year. I know that this is a lot to take in. I know it's overwhelming. It was for us. I love being your pastor. When the master speaks, all you can do is say yes. And he has spoken clearly. But I know this. God is at work all around us. All the time. And he doesn't just speak to Baptist ministers. He speaks to men and to women and to children. And I just wonder, what is the Lord speaking to you? As you think back to your life, as you've felt the presence of the Lord, what is he saying? We're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to sing the song, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." And I simply want you to seek your own heart to determine, what is God calling you to? What does he want you to do? You might have 1,000 reasons to say no. But if the Lord has called, you have one really good one to say yes. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for your great love, Lord. I thank you that you still speak. And Lord, that you still answer specific prayers. Lord, I pray today that you'll be with each person that's here. Lord, I pray that first you will give us a comfort and peace, Lord, to know that just as you have closed doors, Lord, you also open doors. You love your church, Lord, and you will continue to provide for your church, just as you will continue to provide for me and my family. But Lord, I know that there are people here whom you have been speaking to. You have been convicting in different areas about different things. Lord, many times it's not that we don't know your will, it's that we're not strong enough to obey it. But I pray, Lord, that you will convict each person today, Lord, what your perfect will is, and that you will give them the strength to obey you and to go wherever you may call them to go. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I simply invite you to stand and invite you to sing to the Lord wherever he leads. I'll go. You may be seated. What I do want to do is I want to invite everybody to come back tonight. I'm sure you have a thousand questions, as did I. We found out just a couple of weeks ago that we have been granted permission to go. And we've had time to pray about it and think about it, process it. And so I want to invite you to come back tonight at our regular time. And for our service, my wife and I are just going to sit on this stage, just pouring out what we feel the Lord is calling us to do, answer any questions, thoughts, concerns that you might have, and just know that the Lord is going to continue to provide. As I said, we plan to be here for several months during this season, if the Lord allows us to, if he doesn't close that door. And so be praying for us and know that we'll be praying for you. And we do invite you to come back tonight to discuss it. We will have no services on Wednesday. July 4th is Thursday. And so we'll be taking off this Wednesday just for you to go and be with your family. We do have several more announcements. One is, if you haven't already heard, Mr. Steve Cook has passed away. And he's been a long time, a loved member. And his funeral will be tomorrow here at Trinity. The visitation will be 9 to 11, and the service will be at 11. And so I hope you're able to come to that service, be praying for the entire Cook family as they are still grieving the loss of a great man. Have several other announcements. I know we have a Sunday school report. If we could have that now, and then whatever other announcements you may have.
We had a total of 81 in Sunday school today. And let me just encourage you, it may be summertime and we may be out and about, but don't hesitate thinking that God takes the summer off. He's still here, and we can learn from his scripture every day of the year. So we encourage you to come on to Sunday school and learn of his word. And under Sunday school falls Vacation Bible School. I don't know if you realize that is an arm of Sunday school, but we had an average of 40 children. We averaged 75 each day of Bible school. Our Bible school offering went to the Baptist Global Response. We've already received $915, and I got 8 eggs cracked on my head. And I promise you, adults and children alike enjoyed that, especially those that got to bust the eggs on my head, Brother Charlie. So anyway, like I said, we encourage you to come to Sunday school and study God's Word. Thank you.
All right, last couple announcements. We do have choir practice this evening. Also tomorrow morning and throughout that entire week, the student ministry will be going to the University of Mobile for our annual trip to Fuge. This is a time where these students are going to spend the next 5 days just serving the Lord. Over half their day is going to be spent with children in the Mobile area. Some might go to the detention center with some kids that may not leave that detention center unless they're leaving to go to a federal penitentiary. Some of them will work with children who don't have any parents, have one parent, some in foster care. These children need the light of Christ, and I'm just very pleased to take the students I'm taking with me, but be in prayer for them, for their strength, for their endurance, and for their mental fortitude, so that they can know to listen. And when God opens a door to them, that they can also go through. Last announcement, we do leave tomorrow morning, but I am changing the location to meet out of respect for the services. Since we leave at the same time as the visitation, we will be meeting somewhere else. Students, keep your phones on. I will be texting you that information within the day. All right, if there are no further announcements, let's all stand, join hands, and sing, I Need Thee Every Hour.